look at Exodus 12, verse 40, 41, and 42, and then we'll skip over to chapter 13 of Exodus and read verse 3. Give you time to get there. It's on page 63. I was driving up Roan Street yesterday and looked over to my right and saw a car sitting at this business, and it had a license tag on the front of it that said Megan. I wonder, who in the world is that? They're sitting here in our congregation today. That's what Aaron thinks of her. He put his name, her name, on his car. Is that right? Oh, that's your car. Okay, forget what I just said. I thought it would have Aaron on it, Megan. No? Okay. Let's see what he has to say here. But if you got a bulletin, you saw that the title of this message today is Remember This Day. And it says in verse 40 of chapter 12, Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's quite a few years. That's older than any of us here today. Right? Long time. That's significant because of what they went through. And you all know what they went through. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Notice right in the middle of that where it says, even the selfsame day it came to pass. Because the title of this message is Remember the Day. We tend to, in our human nature, kind of fog the situation. We sometimes want to be in the gray area. Instead of black and white, we gray things. Sometimes it's easier to deal with things if we live in the gray area. The Lord doesn't want us to live in the gray area. He wants us to wake up and pay attention and remember the day. There were 430 days here they could have remembered. What He wants them to remember is the day. But every day that they were in Egypt, it had good and bad things that happened to people. Mostly bad, we know as time went on. It got worse and worse until they cried out to God. And God heard their prayer. Look at verse 42. And it says, It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. You remember the night that he's talking about? The death angel was making his rounds. You remember who would die? The firstborn of those that the blood was not applied to the doorpost and the mantle, folks. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Now, keep this in mind, that if the blood had not been applied to the Jews' house also, the Israelites, they would have died too. Because it didn't have anything to do with them being who they were. It was that the blood must be applied. And for those who are going to heaven, you must know that the blood had to be applied to you. The blood must cover your sins. And for the blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins, You had to repent of your sin of unbelief in him. All the other sins, you know, they're numerous. You don't have to go there. He'll take care of those one by one until they're all taken care of. But on that, on your salvation, you've got to repent of the sin of unbelief. That's the major sin for a person who's lost, is that they got to get that out of the way. Otherwise, you don't have a conversation with God. You don't have a conversation with his son, Jesus Christ. You don't know the Holy Spirit until that's taken care of. So he says, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember the day. Chapter 13, verse 3. We're going to continue. I'm not going to read all that in between, but we're going to 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day, in the which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Y'all reading? When I stop, you say it. Okay? Because it doesn't mean I've had a lapse of brain function. It means I want some help. I want to hear you say bondage, because I want you to be in this message with me. I don't want to be up here preaching this message and you sitting there thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. Don't do that. Let's get into this message, because he says, and I'm going to read it one more time for you. I'll be to you like they were with me at Paris Island. Till you get it right, we're going to keep doing it. Amen. Okay, listen. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in the which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of
bondage.
Yes, for by strength of hand, whose hand was it? Oh, mercy. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Why did he put that on there? For us. They could only have unleavened bread at this time. You see, when we observe communion, we observe with unleavened bread. No leaven. The reason they couldn't have leaven is because leaven had to do with the sins in the people's lives. It has to do with sin in our life. When we're remembering ourselves, we remember by observing with unleavened bread that we have repented of the sin in our life and we've gotten it out. Can't worship the Lord if you haven't gone to him first and said, Lord, forgive me. And it's not a matter of whether you need to or not. Every one of us need to. Sin is not specific to just certain people. We need to look at ourselves before we look at anybody else, right? But we have a tendency as human beings to look at other people's lives and say, well, it's all the sins over there, not over here. No, that's not true, folks. It's in every one of us. That's why he told us in the New Testament, little children, don't want you to sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. He's wanting to let us know that when it happens, it's not a matter of if. Actually, it's a matter of when. We ask for forgiveness, and he gives forgiveness. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Let's bow our heads. We're going to ask the Lord to guide and direct our minds here today so that we leave here remembering above everything that there are some days we need to remember, and especially a very special day in our lives when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this message already. I thank you for what you're going to do in the minds and hearts of everyone here today. And we're going to praise you for the results, because we know that you're in charge of the results. And so we just want to thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this some time ago, and I continue to remember it because it means something to me. It's kind of like those things I share with you, like what a man believes will determine what he does. Always carry that with you because it's true. What a man believes will determine what he does. And I ran across this one also, and never have shared this with you, but I thought this is a good time to share this. When you drink from the stream, remember the spring. When you drink from the stream, remember the spring. Why would that statement say that? Because you got to remember where it came from. If you're going to thank God for a drink of water, and we do, if you're thirsty and you get a drink, you're going to thank God, but you got to thank God from whence it came. You got to thank God for the beginning of the whole thing, and that's what this is all about. There are days that we remember. I put down a few dates that I thought you might just like to. You don't have to remember all these. I just want you to know that there are specific dates for a whole lot of things. December 7th, 1941. What day is that? Pearl Harbor. That's a day we remember. Every year when December 7th comes around, we remember that. Which one is this? January 6th, 1944. Now, I knew you wouldn't know that one. That's D-Day. That's D-Day. The end of World War II, September 2nd, 1945. That day is special to me, because that was the day my dad got to come home. That was the day my dad did come home. November 11th, 1918. World War I. Some of you, your grandfathers may have been involved in that war. Then April 30th, 1975, end of the Vietnam War. You say, really, is that important? Very important. We've got men sitting here in this congregation today who were there in Vietnam. Don't know why it took so long for it to end, because 10 years earlier, I was getting out of the Marine Corps. And it was going on, springing up about that time. But there's another date that even tells us what it's all about. 9/11. Remember that day? 9/11. I'll never forget that day. Will you? Because most of us were glued to our TVs watching those planes go into the Twin Towers, knowing that our country had been invaded, knowing that thousands of lives would be taken that day. You say those are important days, and they are. There's a lot more than that, but I just wanted to share a few of those, and it's mainly just to get us to see that there is a day that we need to remember. And we just don't want to bring it up ever so often. We don't have to have that specific day here to celebrate that day or to remember that day. But there is one special day that you want to remember. Now, on this day, and that's why it's not date specific, that you do remember it. You might remember the date specific that you got saved, that you gave your heart and life to the Lord. If you remember that day, whether it was on a Monday or a Tuesday or what month, what day, what year, that's well and good. What I do want you to remember is that it happened, because that part you can't forget. When you ask for forgiveness of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never forget that day. I don't care if you were 8 years old or 80 years old. It won't make any difference. You will never forget that day, because you remember what happened to you. You remember how your heart changed. You remember how your heart melted for those that you might not have cared too much about. Oh yeah, you look at everybody differently. You do, because your heart's been changed. We can't forget that, folks. The Jews were told to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. For years, when I was a kid, I thought this was for all of us Christians to remember the Sabbath day, but Sunday's not the Sabbath, folks. Sunday is the first day of the week. For the Jew, they would remember the Sabbath. For the Christian, we remember the first day of the week. What does the first day of the week have to do with it? You say, well, that's when you have church. Everybody ought to have church on the first day of the week. That's not what the first day of the week is all about. This is, having church is just a way in which we come and remember the first day of the week. Remember what happened on the first day of the week. You see, when Jesus died and was buried on the third day, he resurrected. That's why we observe the first day of the week, his resurrection. So you see, we don't have to wait until Easter to observe the resurrection. And that's important, because the same thing that happened to you when you were dead in your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were resurrected to new life. You were brought to life. So we remember that every week, the first day of the week, on a Sunday morning, we ought to can't wait to get to the house of God to remember the day that he resurrected us from a dead life to a living soul. One who could enjoy the life that we live in and look forward to being with him in eternity. Remember the day. It's important that we remember the day. I'm forever saying this. I've got to remember that. Scratch my head and say, I've got to remember that. I have found that more notes are really helpful to me. If I could remember to write down the note, I could remember the day, right? So we've got to do a better job of remembering things, that's for sure. But I say that all the time, I've got to remember that. Why is it important that I remember it? Well, it may involve somebody else's life. And most of the time it does, doesn't it? The things that you have to remember. It's not just about you, it's about other people. So we have to remember that. And here's what the Bible says about that. As Christians remember the first day of the week and the Jew remembers the Sabbath day, here's what he said, and I just read it to you a few minutes ago. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt. Got to remember, that's what it was about. He delivered them out of the house of bondage. You got to know this. You got to know that the reason they were remembering it was because they were in bondage and he brought them out. So if he brought them out of the bondage, he delivered them. When you're in bondage, you do nothing for yourself, or you do what they tell you to do when you're in bondage, right? That's being in jail or prison or whatever way you want to do it. But they're in bondage. They're handcuffed. They're in stocks and bonds. They can't do anything except what they're told to do. Well, before you got saved, you were in bondage to Satan. And you would do what Satan said. Some of the things you read in the paper, you say, I can't believe people would do that. Well, I got news for you. It could happen to anyone who's under the rule of Satan himself. You say, but I couldn't. I'm a good person. I couldn't do that. You stay under the rule of Satan and you begin to listen to him. I'll give you a good illustration here. They were having a big thing up here at Freedom Hall some years ago with the Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness having this big meeting up here. Well, they got that meeting over with. Everybody was dispersing and going home. This young family went down the interstate, stopped off down there at Balington, I believe it was, and at the truck stop down there. and a bunch of young people from Kentucky, if I'm correct in my memory, a bunch of young people from Kentucky grabbed that family, nabbed them, took them down in the country down there and shot them. You say, those were young people. Yeah, they were young people. But folks, they were under the control of Satan himself. It happens. Things like that happen. And the reason we need to get saved is so that we can be under another ruler other than Satan. I don't want my life ruled by Satan, and you don't want your life ruled by Satan. My life is ruled by God himself right straight from heaven. So if I'm going to have what God wants me to have, I've got to be saved. So I want to remember the day, but I want to remember all the good days in my life. The day I got out of bondage. Did I know everything about the bondage that I was in? I didn't have to know it all. I just remembered what the Word of God says. If you'll believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't have to be here. Because you see, memories are the foundation on which we build for the future. I would not have been where I am right now. My kids would not have been where they are right now, except for the memories that I had from the moment I began to go to Sunday school. And that was, by the way, the first few weeks of my life. I was in church. Don't even remember them having a nursery. I think you just held it, and the preacher, if your baby started crying, the preacher just got louder. Do y'all remember those days? But thank God for nurseries, right? Yeah, because in the nursery, especially our nursery, that's a ministry. And everybody who works in anything here at Liberty Fellowship know that whatever they work in, it's a ministry. You're touching that baby's life. Eliza is down there right now listening to the sound of the VeggieTales music, and she'll grow up learning things, and I want them to do that. So everything is a ministry. Memories are the foundation for which we make a future for not only ourselves but those that are involved in our lives. Here in this scripture that I just read to you, special care is given here that we would continue to remember. And I want to share what they were supposed to continue to remember and watch the parallel with our lives. And you're going to see how important you are to God for what he did for you. First of all, they were to remember the preservation of Israel's firstborn. You say you didn't read anything about that. Well, would you bear with me just a moment and let me look at verse 2? Would you look at verse 2 with me for just a moment? And let's see what it says in verse 2. He says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Was the firstborn important to him? Oh, very important. And not just to him then, but important to him now. Because I'm going to share something with you. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. He's laying claim to it. And he wants it sanctified unto him, all the firstborn. Now there's a reason for him saying, I want all the sanctified, the firstborn, to be sanctified. There's a reason for that. Let me show it to you, okay? Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. The firstborn in that day, in the Old Testament, was the joy and the hope of all the families. When you read the Old Testament, that's why even we carry that on in some of our families. I think Joseph probably is the firstborn of your children, right, Joseph? Am I correct? Yes. What a good young man that young man is. He could be the firstborn in my family any day, because I think the world of that young man. Well, we still carry on that thing of the firstborn. I didn't like it when I was growing up because my older brother was the firstborn. I was just there. Are you with me? I even until I outgrew him, I had to wear his shirts and pants and shoes and everything. They were hand-me-downs. That's the way we lived back then. And we wore everything until all the kids wore them all out. It works, folks. You spend less money that way. But to help the economy, things changed. He says, they shall be mine. The church of the firstborn is sanctified to God. Now, you may wonder about why I would say that, because I want you to know who you are. You are an individual, but you belong to the church. If you're a born-again child of God, you belong to a bigger church than Liberty Fellowship Church. You belong to the church of God. And here's what he says about that. And if you would like to find it, I'll share it with you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 33, and I have it marked here, so you don't have to worry about it. Here's what he says. 23, verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, that be us, which are written in heaven. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're a born-again child of God. Let me reverse that statement. If you're a born-again child of God, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, already written down. Don't have to worry about it, folks. It's there. And to God. You're special to him. Is it important to remember the day? It is so important to remember the day and that we do something with it. And to God, the judge of all, because see, in this statement, we learn a whole lot. One day, our sin's going to be judged. If you're a child of God, you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, you're going to be at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there, remember? I preached it here for 30 years. You don't want to be at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be. If you're lost, you need to get saved so you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be judged as to the deeds done in the body as a born-again child of God. That's good stuff. You don't have to worry about the word judge or judgment here because it's for your good. And he says, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You might wonder, well, how in the world is that saying that I'm perfect? You are. You are. I know that's boggling your mind, but I'm going to tell you, you're perfect because God looks through his Son, Jesus Christ, at you. That's how he sees you. You are perfect in Jesus Christ. Are you perfect in your old Adamic nature? No, 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 you're not. That's why Paul said, the things I would do, I don't. The things I wouldn't, I do. Does that sound like us? That sounds like us. But isn't it wonderful that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, can look at you and see you as perfect? Because that's the way you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. That's good news, folks. That's good news from a far country. In Romans chapter 8, and I know that Tom's class knows all about this, he talks about Christ being the firstborn among many brethren. How important is that to me? That's very important to me because when I accepted Jesus Christ, when I became born again, I couldn't do that. I couldn't born myself again. I couldn't. But when I repented of my sin of unbelief, he regenerated me. He touched me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I became born again. Do I need to understand how that happened? No, I just know it did. I am a born again child of God. I am because of my relationship with him who was the firstborn of the brethren. I now am the firstborn. That's how I become a part of the church, the firstborn. It's all connected, folks. It's all connected. You are special today, and you need to remember that day that you gave your heart and life to the Lord. And if you can't remember that day, if there's something inside you that says, I don't know about that special day, if you want to talk with me, I'll be glad to talk with you because you got to get that right, folks. Don't have that doubt in your mind as to your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a born-again child of God, it will show in your passion to know more about him and to love him. They wrote a song years ago, to know him is to love him. Buddy, that's true, but not on the secular level. That's true about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To know him is to love him. So he wants us to remember the day that they were set apart, sanctified to be who they were, the firstborn. You're the firstborn if you're a child of God. Remember that day. It's important. But then he went on, and in that third verse of chapter 13, he wanted them to remember the day that they came out of Egypt. Now, there is a connection there with your salvation and them coming out of Egypt. Because I just told you a few minutes ago about being dead. They, as far as the world was concerned, the Israelites were dead. All they were slaves to the Egyptians. That's all they were. And nobody cared about that because nobody's going to mess with the Egyptians. The Egyptians were using them as forced labor. They were just helping their economy by making bricks, and it didn't cost them anything except maybe to throw in a little food for them every now and then, keep them alive to where they could work. It was a terrible situation. And by the way, Satan had you in a terrible situation too. If you're a lost person, he's got you in a terrible situation, and he wants to keep you there. He doesn't want you to come out of that. He wants you to stay there and die there and go to hell. That's what he wants. Doesn't have your best interest at heart. You say, oh, but I'm having a good time. No, you're not. It just looks like you are. If you take a moment and think about your life and where you've been and where you're headed in that situation, you'll find out that you're not having a very good time in life, because this old life down here is coming to an end. And when it comes to an end, then it all takes place. So he said, remember this day. Now for them, they had a special day so that they could remember this day. This day that they came out of Egypt, that special night. It's called the Passover. You know why that was, because he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he did. He kept his promise. When the death angel came through and saw the blood, he could only pass on. He couldn't do anything as far as taking any lives. This was the most remarkable day in the history of their lives. Never another day. Never. Not ever. For them, it was the birthday of a nation. Remember how they came out? I love that view, that vision in my mind of all those millions of people leaving. You say millions? Yeah. Yeah, there were 3 million people coming out of Egypt on their way out of there, going toward the wilderness. And I had this vision, even saw the movie Ten Commandments years ago. Did y'all ever see that? And boy, what a sight that was. And when they got down there to the Red Sea and didn't have anywhere to go, and the Egyptian army was coming in behind them, you see, they were still in trouble about that time, weren't they? Kinda. God already had started his work. No Egyptian gonna stop this movement. By the way, when you get saved, Satan can't stop your movement. He can't stop your movement. If you're living for him, you're going to go on through your life and you're going to live for him. When you come down there to the place to where there's a mountain on one side and the Red Sea on the other, and you don't have anywhere to go, but you know you got to get out of there because danger is coming your way, well, just be still just for a moment. Is that what he said? Be still for just a moment and know that he is God. You don't have to find a way over the mountain. You don't have to find a way over the Red Sea. He'll do it for you. So he said, just be still and know that I am God. I'll take care of this situation. So anyway, they get down there. And that saving of that nation was God's people, and they were going to be saved. The Egyptians couldn't do anything about it, and he proved that just a little later. So what I want you to see is that basically the same thing happened to you, but it wasn't the birth of a nation. It was your eternal birth. Now, I know the word eternal has no beginning and no end. I know that. But I'm saying to you, the day that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, eternal life began for you that day. Eternal life means there is no end. When you die here, you don't end. You just slip right on over to the other side, where you go into the presence of Jesus himself and those who have died before you, where you can glorify his name in eternity. in eternity, folks, never to quit glorifying him. Now, I want to take you back just for a moment to what I was telling you earlier. Why did you come to the house of God this morning? I hope and pray that you came today to worship Jesus, to know him above everything, because